Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Namashrestam Manamapi Sachi Putram Matra Swarupam Rupam Dasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivadam Aho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto yasya patita kripaya Shri Gurum tam natosmi Ajanulam bhato bujo Kanaka vidato Sankirtanai kapitaro Kamalaya taksho Vishvambaro dvijavaro Yuga dharma palo Vande jagat priyakaro Karuna avataro Anarpita chirim chirat Karuna avatina kalo Samarpahitam manujvala rasam Svabhakti shriyam Hari purata sundara dyuti Kadamba sandipitaha Sada hidaya kandare spuratuva Sachinandanaha Utama adama kichuna bachila jachi adile kakola Kahe premananda emona goranga ridoya dharia bola Bhaja goranga kaha goranga laha gorangera namore Bhaja goranga kaha goranga laha gorangera namore Jai Janagoranga Bhaje Se Hoy Amar Pranare Jai Janagoranga Bhaje Se Hoy Amar Pranare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya, Sasanatana Rupaka, Gopala Raghunathapta, Brajabala Bapahimam, Madgavirapi Gopala, Sri Kriyat, Kripayajari, Tadaiva Sambhayapitva, Rishayustat Priyajanaha, Vamsha kopataru bhischa, kripa sindhu bhyevacha, patitanam bhavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo namo namaha, jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Yavrita Giradhar Shiva Sari Gaur, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. We're doing some survey wherever we've been going. Pretty much we've been asking devotees this question. I'm just curious, don't mind. Is there anybody here in the room who would like to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Please raise your hand. I think it's unanimous. Okay. So a question comes in. What is the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Does it mean you have his mercy if you get a good wife? He says yes. Does it mean that we have the mercy of Lord Nityananda if we have a lot of money? Or if we become the temple president? Does that mean I have the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we generally think of as the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The Lord Nityananda Prabhu is Prema Pradatta. He's a giver of Krishna Prema. That's the real mercy of Lord Nityananda. If you meet a fantastically rich man, say, who's a rich man? Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. And he gives you $1. Have you gotten Bill Gates' mercy? No. He can give you $1 billion. He has so much money. Mm-hmm. So if we get some insignificant thing, some position, some money, some spouse or something, that's not the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The real mercy of Lord Nityananda is when we get Krishna praying. So now we'd ask another question for our survey. Raise your hand. How many here can say that you've really gotten the mercy of Lord Nityananda? This is very depressing. Maybe some mercy of Lord Nityananda. We have Prabhupada, yes. We got some mercy, yes. You're here. Yes, that's some mercy. Yes, that's definitely some mercy. Yes. But, as we were saying, if Bill Gates gives you $1, does that mean you've really gotten the mercy of Bill Gates? Mm-hmm. We've gotten something. Just to meet him, you may say, well, I got to meet Bill Gates. He gave me $1. I'll put it on my wall. But that's not the full mercy. So a question comes then, in this case, if we may say that we don't have the full mercy of Lord Nityananda, question comes, why not? And that's the subject matter of this song. A beautiful song. The author of the song is singing, Adosha Garasi Mora Prabhu Nityananda. He says, Mora Prabhu Nityananda. He's my Prabhu. Why is he my Prabhu? Because he's Adosha Darshi. He doesn't see any faults. He's the only hope I have. Let's just be straightforward and honest. I have so many faults. I have so many problems. I've made so many mistakes. If mercy is only given to persons who are qualified, then I'm out of luck. So I want to go to Lord Nityananda Prabhu because he's a dosha darshi. But the author of the song is lamenting. Nabajinu heno Prabhu Chadanada Binda. I never worshipped him. Now, what does that mean? Is this some kind of poetic license that he's taking and writing in the song? I mean, here in this room, let's be honest, is there anybody here who didn't worship Lord Nityananda today? Is anyone here who didn't chant the Panchatattva mantra at least once? We've all worshipped Lord Nityananda. So what does he mean? Why is he saying this? There's some purport to it. Would you? Not with one's heart. Very good. There's something lacking in there. He says the same similar thing in this next line. Hoi re na jani mui kemo na asura payana bajinu heno doyara takura. He says, I didn't know. Na jani mui kemo na asura. What a demon I am. I never worship doyara takura. The Lord of Mercy, Lord Nityananda. This is a photo of Lord Nityananda at his birthplace. They call it the Garbhasthal in Akachakra. They don't usually allow photos of this. But they have something here. So what does it mean? He's saying, I've never worshipped Lord Nityananda Prabhu. If you want to worship someone, It means you have to imbibe something of their mood. So what is the mood of Lord Nityananda? He's adosha darshi. He doesn't see fault. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport and Madhyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita that the qualification of a Vaishnava is that they're adosha darshi. They don't see faults in others. Is there anyone here who never sees faults in others? Maybe this is the reason we're not getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So the akka of the song, he offers a prayer to his heart. My dear heart, ohi re abhaga prana kisuke acha. Are you ever going to be happy? Whatever you asked from me, I always gave you like a very obedient servant. When you were a little boy, you wanted a red fire truck. And I got you the red fire truck. And then later you wanted a bicycle. And then you wanted a very pretty girlfriend. And every little thing, my dear heart, that you've ever wanted, I gave you. But still you're not happy. So the author of the song, he says, Nitai bolia keno. Mariana Jaha, better that you die because your life is useless. You're never satisfied with anything. What kind of life is that? I'm never satisfied, I'm never peaceful. Better that you die. But before you die, just one time, call out the name Nityananda, and then you can die. This is one meaning. Another meaning is there, that if you want to call out the name of Nityananda Prabhu, you first have to die. Doesn't mean that you take a gun to your head or something depressing like that. But it means that we become hopeless. We have so much hope. I know one devotee, he's been married now for 7 times. 7 different marriages. And each time it didn't work out. And he suffered really badly, sometimes very public, embarrassing way. But each time after it was over, he thought, meet another girl. Oh, she's really pretty. And he had some hope. Maybe this one will be different. This time I'm going to have some happiness that I really do in my life. So we have to become hopeless. There's no more hope. And when I die in that way, I give up all my hopes for material enjoyment, then I can call it the name of Lord Nityananda. So then he sings, Nitai karuna suni pasena milaya. Lord Nityananda may ask, what is it you want from my mercy? And the author says, no, I know about you. Your mercy is so astonishing that just when someone describes your mercy, hearing the glories of your mercy, the stones melt. But hoy re daruna hiya nadara betaya. My heart is harder than a stone. The stones are melting when they hear about Lord Nityananda's mercy, but my heart's not melting. It's too hard. The mercy of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai is so very, very special. They don't see it if someone commits some offense. Nitai Chaitanya Apa Radha Nahi Mane. But still, Jaritare Nija Prema Bhakti Koridane. Still, they give their own Prema, Nija Prema. This is a very wonderful quality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's giving the ecstasy that he has himself. And Lord Nityananda is doing the same thing. But the author of the song says, Ami Bodo Abhagya. I'm very, very unfortunate. Tara nam loite na gale mora hiya Krishna dasa kohe mui Bodo Abhagya. Ami Bodo Abhagya. How do we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? 2 things are required. One, Don't find fault with others. Be simple. We may be the most sinful, the most fallen person. That's okay. That's our qualification. But don't try to be something we're not. We haven't been appointed the judge of others. Unless, as Mataji pointed out this morning, unless you have some management position, you're a parent, you're a teacher or something, then you can do within your field of influence. And if you try to go outside your field of influence, that means ashradane vimuke prasindati ischopadesha sivanamaparad. Padma Purana says you're doing namaparad. If they don't want to listen to you, if they want to listen to you, if they respect you, then you can speak to them. We were mentioning a few days ago, Srila Prabhupada followed this principle. How once he was in France, and the devotees were getting ready, they did some kirtan, so many hippies were there dancing and chanting. And then Srila Prabhupada came in, they gave a big vyasasan for Prabhupada to sit on, and those students started shouting at Srila Prabhupada, calling him bad words. Prabhupada asked one of the devotees, what are they saying? And they told him. And the Prabhupada said, anyway, just do kirtan. Because they're not qualified. Because there's some criticism is coming. So that mercy won't come to us. If we're criticizing, if we try to act like something that we're not, and we try to criticize some big person. But if we act according to our position, even if we're the most fallen person, Krishna's mercy is there. The mercy of Lord Nityananda is there. So two things are required. We should be adosha darshi. Don't see fault in others. And secondly, we should chant Krishna's name. But the author of the song, he's saying, tadanam laitena gale morihiya. That the holy name is not residing in my heart. That's where it should reside. It's not even residing in my throat. Because I'm not worshipping Lord Nityananda in the right way. We spoke yesterday about the forest fire. And Krishna told the cowherd boys to close their eyes so that he could swallow that fire. And we explained two reasons for this. The cowherd boys thought that Krishna was going to chant some secret mantra. And so they had to close their eyes for that moment. But Krishna was thinking, I got in really big trouble before when I ate some dirt. Now if I eat fire and they go and tell Mother Yashoda, I'm really going to be in trouble this time. But there's a third reason. That forest fire represents criticism of other devotees. It represents sectarianism. It represents seeing fault in others. If we want this forest fire to stop, if we want to be rescued from the forest fire of material existence, if we want Krishna to come and rescue us and save us, we have to close our eyes to other people's faults. This is a very important subject matter for our bhajan. This fault-finding is a great, great impediment in our bhajan. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he's commented in his Saartha Darshini Tika on the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. We made some mention of this morning. Therein he speaks about four types of saints and four types of critics. Thank you, Krishna. So the four different types of saints are the Mahat, the Mahattara, the Mahatamam, and the Atya Mahatamam. Mahat means a great personality. And the Mahattara is a greater person. The Mahatama means the greatest person. But the Ati Mahatma means the very greatest person. So the symptom, he says, of a Mahat is that a Mahat sees some good in everyone. No matter who he meets, no matter how degraded the person may be, they may be a rapist and a murderer in the most terrible prison in the world, but they'll see some good quality in that person. And someone who can do that, he's a Mahat. The Mahat also sees some faults in other persons. But they consider that by certain methods, these faults will go away and they'll develop good qualities. Sometimes a person who's acting as a Mahat or is a Mahat, they may chastise someone because they may see that they're doing some wrong thing. But their motivation, as we said early this morning, is without envy. Their motivation is with love and compassion. They really want to help the other person. And their harsh words, Vishwanath compares to neem juice. Neem juice tastes very bitter. But if it's given in an appropriate way, it'll cure your disease. So a mahat, he'll never reject or condemn a faulty person. But he only thinks, how can that person be benefited? This is a mahat. A mahatara is an even greater person. He also sees good and he sees some bad, but he only focuses on the good. If he sees some materialistic merchant, then the mahatara will think, although he's a vishai, a materialistic person, still he gives in charity. He's a very kind person, so he's worthy of respect. He's a greater person. Then greater than him is the mahatma, an especially great person. He sees only good. He doesn't see any bad in other people. He sees only good. And whatever good he sees, he magnifies it. Oh, such a nice thing. Oh, you have very good taste in shoes. Maybe that's the only good thing that he can see. Nice taste in shoes. I appreciate that. So he can say something good about them. And as we mentioned this morning, Vishwanath compares it. He says that such a person, even if someone comes and steals his cloth, he thinks, this person's a virtuous person. He has a knife. He could have attacked me with the knife, but he didn't. Although he stole my cloth, he must be a virtuous person. Very good. This is a mahatma. He sees good in everyone. And the atya mahatam, they see good even where there is no good. Their attitude is that there's no bad people in the world, that everyone is good. Very few atya mahatams in this world. Just as there's four types of saintly persons, Vishwanath describes four types of wicked persons or bad persons. He calls them asadhu. The asadhu, the asadutra, the asadutam, and the atyasadutam. An asadhu, or wicked person, sees some good in someone. But even if he sees some good in someone, he'll presume that it's going to be spoiled by some fault that they have. If he sees someone working for someone else's benefit, then he'll conclude that eventually they're working, they're doing some service, but really they want to steal some money from the person. They have some bad motivation. Even though there's no reason to think like that, they'll automatically think that. That's an asadhu. And then there's the asadhutara. He's an even more rude fellow. He's very wicked. He only sees faults, and he overlooks any good. Vishwanath gives an example. If he sees some sannyasi is traveling with great difficulty in a very selfless way to help people all over the world. There's nothing he wants. He doesn't need any money, doesn't need anything for himself. But the asadhutara, he won't see those good qualities. He just sees, hey, look how much rice he's eating. He's just here to fill his belly. Obviously, he's a lusty person. He's not a qualified sannyasi. He should be considered fallen. This is the asadhutara. But worse than the asadhutara is the asaduttama, especially wicked person. He takes some small fault and magnifies it. He doesn't see anything good in anyone at all. And Vishwanath says that if he sees a sannyasi, he'll criticize him, bogus rascal. He'll see, this sannyasi, he went and lived in the forest for some time, but then he left the forest, and now he's gone to the city, and he's there, he's so-called preaching, and he's staying in the house of some wealthy person. His real purpose is he wants to eat some nice prasadam from that wealthy person. This is the asadutam. He's a really bad person. But there's the atyasadutam. The atyasadutam is the worst. He's the crest jewel of rotten persons. The asadyutam sees faults in everyone, even when there is no fault. He thinks in this world, in this society, there's no one good, everyone is bad. This is the asadyutam. He's the utam, the topmost of the critics. And this Ramachandra Puri was like that, Asadyutam. He was finding fault in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no fault. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was criticizing him. Ha! Just see, ants. You must be eating sweets. We've heard about the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're very sophisticated persons, these kind of critics. And they're giving a message. They may be dressed in dhoti and kurta, tilak and kunti mala, but they're giving a message by their activities. The message that they're giving, chanting really doesn't work. If you do that, then you're going to be taken advantage of. There's so many unscrupulous, wicked people. Don't be simple. You should be like me. And find all the faults with everybody. That's the only course. Indirectly, they're offering this as a solution. We came here to this movement because we saw this is a solution. We shouldn't forget that. Srila Prabhupada once told the GBC body in Mayapur, this is our favorite saying, excuse us. Prabhupada said, this chanting should go on. Instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be chanting. This is the Hare Krishna movement. Before I joined, I marched in Washington, D.C., and I protested. We got tear gassed and beaten up by the police. Didn't solve any problems. We tried all that expose things, all the, expose the rascals, this and that. That's not a solution. Rather, it's a great impediment in our bhakti. And we should recognize it for what it is. This conclusion, this point is found in many, many places throughout the Vedic literatures. There was a conversation which takes place in the Udyoga Parva, chapter 34, of the Mahabharata, where Vidura, he's speaking to Dhritarashtra. This is just before the battle of Kurukshetra. And he's trying to convince Dhritarashtra, look, it's not too late. Stop Duryodhana. Give the kingdom back to the Pandavas. Apologize to them. It's not too late. But Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen, and everyone was destroyed. So Vidura, one of the things he told them, very wise point. Akrosha parivada bhyam vihinsata buddha buddhan vakta papavapada te shamamano vimuchate. He speaks about, he says, don't be like a wicked person, an atyasadutam, who tries to hurt other people by speaking harsh words and finding fault with them, criticizing them. He says by doing that, the critic takes the karma of the person he's criticizing. And the wise person who's being criticized, he becomes free from his karma by forgiving that person. So two points are there, a negative point and a positive point. Criticism is a loser proposition. Just like if you're walking on the street in Denmark, in Stockholm, and you find a $100 bill, U.S., then you get to keep it. So similarly, if you find some fault in other people, you get to keep it. And a wise person will become free from that by forgiving his critics. Two chapters later, in the same Udyoga Parva, Atrimuni tells the sadhyas, Akrushamano nakroshen manyar eva vitipshataha akrushtaram nirahati sukkitam cha shivindati. If someone's criticizing you, don't criticize them back. This is the point that the Atrimuni makes to the sadhyas. Because the pain that you feel by being criticized by this other person, that pain patiently consumes the critic. And it takes away whatever good qualities he has, and they come to you. To that person who tolerates the criticisms. There is a science to criticism. This criticism is something that all sadhus have to face. It's a test in the beginning of our spiritual life. People will criticize you. People have already criticized all of you, I'm sure. Not to Jesus.
But then somebody criticizes us, and we hear that person, and then that person loses their courses. Then that's very unkind, and that person would be unhappy.
You're very merciful.
Because they unhappy.
Yes. So what we should do, we should act like a Madhyama Adhikari. Ishwari Taradhineshu, Bhaviseshu Dusatsucha, Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha, Yakuroti Samadhyamaha. A Madhyama Adhikari, and we'll speak a little bit more about this maybe in a minute, has four types of dealings. Ishwari, he offers prema to the Lord. Taradhine, those devotees of the Lord, he becomes their Maitra, their friend. Baliseshu, innocent persons, he gives mercy to, kripa. And dvisatsu, envious persons who criticize us, he practices upeksha, or neglect. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with Ramachandrapuri. Sometimes he would listen to Ramachandrapuri, and he told the devotees, give me half of what I was eating before. And the devotees thought they were going to die. They were so very unhappy seeing that. And other times, Ramachandrapuri would start going on and on with whatever crazy things he was saying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just act like he wasn't even there. So we should practice upeksha. Upeksha is very important. In the Narada Purana, this criticism is described. Papinam papagananam. Yakaroti nadarama. Astitve tulyapapi syan mityate dvigunambarit. It's very interesting. This verse describes a fault finder. We can translate it as a fault finder. The word is used as papagananam. Papagananam literally means someone who's counting, the keeping track of all the faults of another person. They have a little notebook and they go around. Prabhuji, I saw this today, 5 minutes late for Mangal Arati. Okay. Yeah. And you, they're going around like that. That's a papagananam person who's keeping track of everybody else's fault. Who is it who keeps track of everyone's fault? Krishna does that, but actually Krishna doesn't do that. He's busy with the gopis and Vrindavan. He has someone else working for him. Yamaraj is in charge of that, but actually he doesn't do it either. He also has a servant who's doing it for him. Chitragupta. It's Chitragupta who's papagananam. He goes around keeping track of him because Chitragupta is working for Yamaraj. We don't want to work for Yamaraj. We should work for Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And you can see some people, they may be dressed like devotees, but they're not working for Lord Nityananda. They're working for Yamaraj. Because they're acting like Chitragupta. They're trying to keep track of everybody's faults. This thing, this thing, this thing. But the followers of Lord Nityananda, they throw that book away. They're adosha darshi. They don't see fault in anyone. So the Narada Purana says that a fault finder who counts the sins of other persons is Naradama. He's the lowest of mankind. And it says that if the sins that he finds fault with are true, the person actually did this thing, then what will happen, the person who's counting those sins will share equally in the sin with that person. You found the fault, so you get to keep it. If we find fault in others, even if they're actually guilty of that thing, then we share in that sin. Again, this is not referring to a manager or someone who is a guru or someone who has that responsibility to find fault. This is referring to people who it's not their business to find fault. If a child comes and starts criticizing the parent, it's not good. It's a very, very bad thing. The child has no right for that, even if the parent is wrong. It's not the position of the child. He says that if those sins, those faults are true, then the fault finder will share equally with the sinner. But if the accusation is false, then they'll get double the sinful reaction that would have been due for that sinful activity. And in this way, people destroy their spiritual life. It's a meltdown, like a nuclear meltdown. They just completely destroy themselves. We want to work for Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And to do that, we have to give up finding fault. In this regard, we can point out that who is the seer? And this is a very important philosophical point in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There are two types of persons, two categories, drashta and drishta, the seer and the seen. This is a very fundamental, basic point. My grandma has used to emphasize this so much, following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who wrote several articles about this same point. Who is the seer and who is the seen? We might think that we're the seer, but we're not. Krishna is the seer. Krishna, come on, you can go to the next one. And Guru and Krishna are the seer. We're the seen. We should act in such a way that they'll see us. This is the meaning of darshan. Let's stop at this point. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, while commenting about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he notes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not go close to Lord Jagannath when he would go to have darshan. But every day he was standing next to the Garuda Stambha. I wanted to get a picture of Mahaprabhu by the Garuda Stambha, but I didn't have time to get one. And there's a purport to that. Because we should understand the meaning of darshan. Darshan doesn't mean that I see the Lord. Panchatattva looked pretty good today, yeah. I think I approve. Yeah, it's good. Prabhuji did a nice job. Mataji's made a nice outfit. It looks good. You have my approval. That's not darshan. We're not the seer. With our vision, we come and we say, oh, yeah, nice deities. Are these made out of brass or what are they made out of? We have some mundane vision. We're not the seer. Darshan means that we report to the Lord. We come before the Panchatattva. Here I am. I'm reporting before you today. Just like going to work, punching the time clock. Here I am. I'm reporting. That's darshan. Because the Lord is the seer. And He will see us. We have no ability to see the Lord. So we can't see, go to the next one, who's a devotee and who's not. Go to the next thing. Srila Prabhupada, he's described this in one purport in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam. He says the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee, being Jivan Mukta, can be seen or not as he chooses. You can't see who's a devotee. This is such a very, very important principle. You can't see who's a guru. Well, he has a long beard. He has an Indian body. He knows lots of slokas. He's very affectionate, very nice. You don't know. Adolf Hitler, I'm sure, was very affectionate to certain people. And some people really respected him, and he seemed like a very wise person. Guru, sadhu, is a representative of Krishna. And if we want to meet the representative of a government, then you should contact the government and ask them, who is your representative? They can tell you. Krishna will tell us who his representative is. Krishna can see. If we're sincere, if we're crying in the heart, then Krishna will come before us in his form of Sri Guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one article in the Harmonist magazine, he wrote in this regard, he said, at the beginning of our spiritual life, Krishna, seeing our sincerity with a view to help us, will send us Sri Guru, Sadguru. He said, otherwise, if we depend on our own senses to find Guru, we'll always be cheated and we'll find some bogus person. We can't tell who's Guru. We can't tell who's Sadhu. We can't see them. We have to give up the attitude of being the seer. What if I told you that I knew about a manager in the movement who was stealing money from the temple? Raise your hand. Is there anybody who would respect such a person in this assembly? No. Now what if I told you he was also doing illicit sex with some other person's wife? Very bad. And then what if I told you he was not only doing it with one, but six or eight different ladies like that? And not only that, but sometimes he was beating the devotees. And not only that, but sometimes he'd killed some cows. And not only that, but sometimes he'd murdered some Vaishnavas and broken temples and broken deities. Could you respect him? Now, what if I told you that he was an eternal associate of the Lord and that his activity was his service to the Lord and his name was Jai or Vijay as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha? So the Bible says we hate the sin and not the sinner. We don't agree with Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. We don't like that. But actually they're eternal associates of the Lord. And they came down here to give some pleasure to the Lord, to act in a particular pastime. Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinod, he sung in Kalyana Kalpa Taru. Ekona je brahma kule chaitanyera are Kaki jani chaitanyera lila pushtikari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He says that I know that all these demons in Gauralila, they were actually serving some purpose. Lila Pushtikari, they were making the pastimes of the Lord more sweet. They're actually great personalities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers prayers to them. Sri Chaitanya Anucha Chaturmitra Jata Sakalera Sri Chalani Hoi Lama Nata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Tomara Koro Kripa Eda Sera Prati Chaitanya Sudhira Koro Dino Dera Mati Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Sri Chaitanya Anuchar Shatra Mitra Jata. I offer my obeisances to all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those persons who are his friends and the persons who are his enemies. Bhaktivinoda says, Tomara Koroho Kripa Eda Sirup, please be merciful to me. Please give me your kripa. This is the mood of a devotee. It's not our business to find fault with others. And it may be the business of some persons. If someone's a teacher, someone's a guru, or someone's a temple manager, that's their business. We should respect them for that and allow them. Don't criticize them back. If they find some fault in you, that's their right. Krishna has given them that position. It's not my lookout to try to do that. So this point is such a very, very important point. We should respect everyone. But how can we respect everyone if we keep the attitude that I can't recognize everyone? Then it will be much, much easier. For so many years, our society has respected half the devotees, more or less, the men. And the ladies, they stand in the back, they shut up, they don't get any kind of respect like that. In the name of bhakti, sometimes we do that. But it's not correct. It's not Vedic culture. And some problem will happen in our bhakti if we do that. I saw this. When I first joined in Los Angeles, I was a new devotee, new bhakta. I was there for 4 or 5 days, and I started hearing about Sankirtan and book distribution. I started begging the devotees, I want to go out and book distribution. Yeah, I was just very new. They let me go out with one older devotee. That older devotee was a disciple, Srila Prabhupada. And somehow he liked me, and he started confiding in me, even though I was a brand new devotee. And he started telling me, I said, I'm not really sure what I should do. I've been a devotee for a long time. Maybe I should take sannyas now. He was a Sankirtan leader. Maybe I should take sannyas. On the other hand, my dad's offering me a job painting houses. Maybe I should go and live with my father and do like that. And I was remembering the time, I thought, boy, he sounds a little confused. So and I remember he was a very staunch brahmachari. We've met a few people like that. You know, he had saffron socks and saffron toothbrush and, you know, saffron everything. You know, he was very strict like that. One day I remember he was standing in front of the L.A. temple. And some Mataji came and she was looking around for someone. She went up to him and said, "Prabhu, excuse me, have you seen such and such devotee?" And he wouldn't look at her and didn't say anything. And she became a little confused. Did he hear me? Or? And she said again, "Excuse me, have you seen such and such devotee?" And he said, without looking at her still, he said, "Mataji, do you see the color of my cloth?" And she said, "Yes, I see the color of your cloth. Do you know what this means?" And she said, "No, I don't know what it means." "It means I don't have to talk to you." Mm-hmm. So he was like that. He was a very staunch brahmachari. For another 2 years, I think, after that. And then he married an outside girl. Because he was seeing all the ladies like Maya Devis. So then he was always meditating on Maya Devis. Eventually he married a Maya Devi. Didn't marry a devotee girl. And he ended up, the last I heard about him, he became a follower of Rajneesh. Because that's what his girlfriend was into. And then I heard later on she left him and he went to some other girl. It's a very sad thing. So we should offer proper respect to everyone. Our purpose of this discussion is not to make a woman's seminar, but since it's 50% of the population, I don't think it's inappropriate. We should understand something about it. This is described in many places in Shastra, how ladies should be glorified. The Mahabharata Purana, first canto, chapter 10, text 50 states, "Mata rityeva sabdena yamcha sambasate naraha samatitulya satina dharma sakshi satamapi." If someone addresses some lady as Mataji, then you should understand that Yamaraj has witnessed that. Dharma personified is witnessed like that, and that person has become like your mother. And if you disrespect them, then you'll get the reaction for disrespecting your mother. Mm-hmm. So these devotees should be careful. Therefore, it's described in Narada Pancharatra. We give more respect to the mother than we do the father. Very interesting thing in Narada Pancharatra. Ado samucharid radham paschat krishnam chamadavam viparitam yadipatit brahmahatyam labedruvam. This is why we say Radha before we say Madhav. Because he says, if we do the reverse, then you get the sin of killing a Brahmin, if you say Krishna's name before Radharani's name. The verse goes on, the next line. Shri Krishna jagatam tato jagannata charadika pitu sadgunamata vandya puja gariyasi. Because Krishna is the father of the world, and Radharani is the mother of the world. And the mother is 100 times more worshipable and higher in point of respect due than the father. This is Vedic culture. The mother is 100 times due more respect than the father. And instead also, in the Mahabharata, dasa chaiva pitin mata sarvam vapitivim api goravina bilavati nasti matra samo guru mata gariyasi yaccha tinaitam manyate janaha. One's mother is equal to 10 fathers, or even to the entire earth. There's no senior person equal to the mother. This is a statement of Mahabharata. Indeed, she's above all others in terms of the reverence and respect due to her. It's for this reason that people offer so much respect to their mother. So it's a very, very important principle. In fact, we could say that this is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How do we say that? How did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begin his Sankirtan movement? He began in Chandrasekhar Bhavan. One day he told the devotees, "Tomorrow we're going to have a drama. And we're going to display something about Radharani and Mahalakshmi, but only people who have no sex desire, they can come." All the devotees were a little quiet. Advaita Acharya started scratching on the ground with his toe. He said, "I'm not going." The other devotee said, "Me either, I can't go to that thing." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Anyway, don't worry, I'll empower you, you'll be able to come." And then they performed a drama. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he acted as Purnamasi. Haridas Thakur came out. He was a chokidar with a stick. Came out. Boom. Anyone is asleep? I'm going to bash them on the head. It's very good to have a chokidar for Bhagavatam class also. So, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out, and suddenly he manifested the mood and the form of Srimati Radharani and the Supreme Mother. And it's described there that she, took all the devotees on her lap one at a time and breastfed all the devotees. This is the Sankirtan movement. This is what preaching means. Yes, move the light. Vishvambara. Vishvambara means that person who nourishes the world. And that's the mood of a mother. A mother is that person who nourishes everyone. And this is the function of women in society. In a Vaishnava society, if we're saying, Maya Devi, that's not a Vaishnava society. You're not a follower of the Lord Nityananda, you're a follower of Yamaraj. And you're trying to judge everyone, you're trying to criticize everyone. But the Vaishnava sees everyone with respect. Whether they're a man or a woman, anyone who's chanting. It's a very, very important principle. They see Matrivat Padadhari Shu. They see all ladies as their mother. Prabhupada said all women except for their wife. But if we consider the point, a Vaishnava can even see his own wife something like a mother. Consider. When a sincere devotee who wants to practice spiritual life in the place known as Grihastha Ashram, it's an ashram for practicing spiritual life, when he wants to marry, if he wants to make spiritual advancement, he's looking for a devotee partner. So immediately there's some respect there. I want the devotee. I don't want a Maya Devi. I don't want some hot thing. That's going to cause me all kinds of problems. She'll run away with some other person. I want someone who's going to be a mother of my children. Because that's the purpose, Shastra says, of a Grihastha Ashram. So in the very beginning, he's seeing someone like a mother. And if you see someone like a mother, really, then immediately you can't help but love that person. Because it's my mother. Now, who doesn't love their mother? Even the most terrible dacoit in prison, if you go and say something bad about his mother, he'll kill you. Everybody loves their mother. So in a society like that, the Grihastha man can see his wife like that. And then, if they have a child, then again she becomes his mother. Because that child is considered to be non-different from the father. So twice, the woman becomes his mother. And for those ladies, they become so happy and so satisfied. Because they get respect in society. Everyone should have some respect. If there's no respect, we feel depressed. We feel a little disturbed. Even Srivas Thakur, when he was disrespected in the assembly of Devananda Pandit, he fell into ecstasy when he heard Devananda Pandit reciting the Bhagavatam. And the disciples of Devananda Pandit picked him up and threw him out in the street. And Srivas Thakur felt very sad. Not for himself, but what kind of assembly is this? What a sad thing. They're supposed to be Brahmins. You're supposed to be a Vaishnava and they're behaving like this. This is very, very unfortunate. It's not a good thing. So we should give respect. In every culture, both Western and Eastern, worships ladies. In the West, it's very easy to see every billboard, every commercial, there's some scantily dressed, beautiful thing, you know, coming out and to sell some product like that. And the men, they just worship them. And when the girl becomes, I don't know, today's culture, maybe 11 or 12 years old even, definitely by 13 or 14 years old, she's a goddess. And all the boys are following her and falling at her feet, and they'll worship her in whatever way they can. And a lot of young ladies, they choose that as a career choice. I sound very good, I'll be a goddess for my career. Problem is, it only lasts for about 20 years or so. And then after that, some wrinkles come, and some fat comes, and different things, and you're goddess career is over. In fact, your career is completely finished because nobody in the West gives a damn about the women after that. It is a throwaway culture. We buy things in plastic bags and we throw the bags away. We buy a computer, we use it for 2 years, we get rid of it, get a new computer. We buy a car, after 3-4 years, we get rid of the car and get a new car. You get a wife, After a few years, she starts complaining and nagging, so you get rid of her, get a new wife, younger model, a little more attractive, like that. And we change every so often. It's a throwaway culture. And women in that society, because women are softer, they need protection, they need support, they're always in anxiety. They're not peaceful.
And
abused, yes, like anything. And they suffer like anything. But in the Vedic culture, the older they get, the more respect they get. I've seen in the villages in Orissa and West Bengal, you go to a five-year-old girl and you say, excuse me, Mataji, five-year-old girl. Huh? If I go to a 16-year-old girl, we've had this experience sometimes in the temple, you go to a 16-year-old Gurukul, excuse me, Mataji, I'm not a Mataji. They think Mataji means like a bad word or something, or it means some old lady. But in the villages in Orissa and West Bengal, you call a little girl Mataji, they like it very much. It's a very respectful term. It's a worshipable term. This is Vaishnava culture. This is the art and the heart of Vaishnava Sangha, that we should respect 50% of our movement, and we should protect them and love them as mothers. And then they feel some empowerment. And it doesn't mean that they all have to become mothers in the Vedic sense. Prabhupada didn't insist on that. That's nice if people can come to that culture, but we don't all come from that culture. The most important thing is that we should chant and practice bhakti and do the best we can. But it's not, our qualification is not how well we follow Vedic culture. If it were, we'd be in big trouble. As we were saying the other day, none of us, according to Mana Samhita, we wouldn't even be able to be allowed inside the door. Mana Samhita, we're all Yavana Malechas, that's it. There's no consideration of anything else. Our only qualifications are bhakti. And this is a very nice culture. And we should try to practice it. And Prabhupada liked it. It's very good, it's very healthy. But we should respect and love everyone. And if we disrespect half of our society, the mothers, we're disrespecting our heart. It's the heart of the Vaishnava Sangha. I've met a lot of brahmacharis and some sannyasis who don't like ladies. I think ladies are bad. But with all respect to them, I've done some survey. I've interviewed different sannyasis and brahmacharis. And so far, every single brahmachari and sannyasi I've talked to, they all had a mother. Every one of them. It's a required thing, I think, to come into this world. And if we disrespect that, we're disrespecting our own, how we came in this world. Your mother may not be a vegetarian, she may not be a devotee, but she gave you birth. If it wasn't for her, you wouldn't have this body. You couldn't practice bhakti. We should respect her. And what to speak of the devotees in our movement. We should give them some respect and some...
Time
like that. So it's an important thing. We need to learn how to care for devotees. We need to learn how to listen to them. Krishna Kund discussions. And this is another different aspect. If you want to have a relationship with someone, if we consider the point, every relationship is based upon, let's say, two principles, or one principle which is together. That means attentive hearing. Every relationship in this world is based on that. In this regard, there's three types of discussions, vada, japa, and vitanda. You can go to the next one. A vada discussion is a discussion which is in the mode of goodness. We, maybe in our last Bindu magazine, or maybe in our next one, I'm not sure which issue, we've just translated some commentary from Madhvacharya, where he speaks about these three different types of discussions. A vada discussion is a discussion which generally is between guru and disciple. And a vada discussion is symptomized that the participants just want to know what is the truth. And they don't mind, even if they're defeated, it doesn't disturb them, because their goal is to know the truth. That's a very nice discussion. Then there's a japa discussion. A japa discussion is in the mode of passion. And one or both participants just want to be heard. You ever experience a discussion like that? You're going and trying to tell them some very special, important thing, and they just want to tell you about their letter they just got from their boyfriend, or how their hair was just curled just nicely, or this thing or that thing. That's a japa discussion. They don't listen to you. And then the third type is a vitanda discussion. The vitanda is in the mode of ignorance. Vitanda discussion, one or both participants don't care what the truth is. They just want to win. It's a very passionate person. And we see people like that. A lot of them are new religious converts. They want to defeat everybody. I was mentioning yesterday, when I first joined the Hare Krishna temple in Los Angeles in 82, first thing I did, I got on the phone, I called my mother. Hey, Mom, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. My mother started crying. Join the cult. So fanatics are there. They just want to win. They want to win a debate. They want to defeat some other person. Sometimes we see devotees, they used to go out in book distribution, and they'll spend 2 or 3 hours quarreling with some born-again Christian or something because they just want to win. They're in the mode of ignorance. They're doing some bhakti, that's good, but bhakti can be influenced by ignorance, by passion, and by goodness. And that's a discussion in the mode of ignorance. Jiva Goswami says about these three, we don't waste our time with japa and vitanda discussions. We want to stick to vada discussions. So amongst devotees, we should also apply this principle. When we discuss with each other, I should care what is the truth. And even if it makes me look bad, and I look like a fool, very good. That's very good for me. Then my false ego will come down a little bit. Let me look like a fool. That's what I actually am. But let me understand the truth. And if I'm wrong, let me accept it. I had one friend in the Denver temple, once he was giving a Bhagavatam class. And it was a very heavy class. He was a Grihastha devotee. And in the class, he was hammering everybody about television. The television is so bad. Television is just maya. It drags your consciousness down. It's a waste of time. It's going to this and this. And he said so many heavy things. And all the Grihastha devotees are sitting there. Their skin was turning white. Their eyes are kind of big, you know, like this. And he finished the class and he said, so are there any questions? And everybody was very quiet. His little boy, who was about 5 years old, he stood up and he said, Pita, why do you watch TV? And everybody just started laughing. And he tried to say something. Everybody just laughed even more. So we have to practice what we preach. We have to be willing, even if it's a child who comes before us and says something true, we should be willing to accept that and look like a fool if we're a fool. So this attentive hearing in discussions is a principle which is the basis of all our relationships. It's the basis of secular relationships. If you want to go and sell someone a book, if you want to go and talk with your parents, your family who are not devotees, you have to listen to them. You have to talk to them. If you have a friend and they don't listen to you, you don't feel happy. There's always a problem in married life. The ladies, they don't want solutions. The men want to give solutions. Ladies, they need some emotional thing. They just want to be heard. And the men, they don't like to listen. Anyway, it's a simple thing. Just get up in the morning and come to the temple. You'll feel better. It's okay. Get over it. You know, and then she starts crying, you don't care about me. And then he becomes really bewildered. What the heck is going on? I just gave her good advice. But she didn't want good advice. Is this true?
Yeah.
Yes.
They don't be sure, I have something really high to
They just need some emotional support. So this hearing is an important element in the Grihastha Ashram. It's an important element in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Amongst any friends, we should listen to our friend. It's an important element in our spiritual life. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he describes in Harinam Chintamani that there are three different types of inattentiveness in our discussions. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Udasinya, Jajja, and Vikshepe. These are the three types of inattentiveness. These three types of inattentiveness may be there in our dealings with our parents, especially when the child becomes a teenager. They may be there in our dealings with other devotees. They may be there in our dealings with the holy name. And these three types of inattentiveness will destroy our relationships with any of these personalities, will destroy our relationship with the holy name. So Udasinya means indifference. Someone is apathetic. I don't really care. You know, you ever meet someone like that, you go and I've got this big, huge problem, and you know, my mother just died and telling me, anyway, it's time for lunch, man, I gotta go. Huh? They're just indifferent. And you feel hurt. When you go with some really big thing on your chest like that and someone acts in an indifferent way, you may never want to talk to them again. It's going to hurt your relationship. That's Udasinya. Uh-huh. And then there's Jadya. Jadya is laziness. Uh-huh. Or inertia. You just don't have the energy to deal with that. And then Vikshepa means distraction. Uh-huh. So you go to speak to someone. Prabhuji, you know, my mother just died. And I feel very... And the other person's like, man, look at that girl over there, man. You know, they're looking at this thing and that thing. They have other things on their mind and you feel hurt. So these are three sources for inattentiveness in our discussions. So we should avoid these in our dealings with devotees. Now, what happens if we have to deal with people who are very envious? We have to avoid them. We were mentioning this earlier. Our time's getting a little short. We have to practice upeksha, or neglect. Upeksha, if we contemplate on it, is actually a great art. The art of neglect. Mm-hmm. This verse describes visatsu cha, in the Bhagavatam, describing a Majjhima Adhikari. We should neglect envy. Where does envy come? Envy comes all over. We've been living in India for many years now. And whenever we come to the West, it's always a culture shock. As soon as you go to the airport, because with all respect, the ladies in the West don't dress the same way they do in India. And it's just Hare Krishna, it's a shock. But you realize, look, why are they doing like that? Because they want attention. They want some love. They have some envy of Krishna. That they want to be the center of attraction. And that's why a girl wears short skirts and whatever kind of things they do, because they want everyone to look at them. That's a kind of envy. So the Bhagavatam says, practice upeksha, neglect it. Don't see it. We were giving one class in Delhi Temple, and I was saying how we should see all the ladies as mother. And one of the Brahmacharis came to me after, he says, Prabhuji, he says, but what if they don't dress like your mother? I said, then you should think, my mother doesn't dress like that. I said, what if your mother came one day and she had some hot pants on and some low top and whatever like that, what would you do? You wouldn't want to look at her. You're not being like my mother. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that. And that's actually kind of love. You neglect it and you don't look at her in an angry way. It's not that you start going, all the people in Sweden, they're very bad and all the women are like this and this. Don't see faults in others. Upeksha means that we don't see fault. You going to say something?
Concerning this depression thing we said about Mataji, how do I get? Mostly if you see in the world that those who created this passion for Mataji are homosexual taboos. They produce such a death, and then women think they think that it is super, they will attract, and that is the result of the problem.
Very interesting. Very interesting point. There's a lot of truth in that, if you think about it, yeah. All right. So we should practice neglect. Wherever you see envy. Sometimes you see a child has some envy. And maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you have to correct a child, that's one thing. But other times, if you correct a child about every single thing they do, that's also too much. Sometimes you just have to overlook it. We have to overlook that envy, especially if we see something in our peers. someone is acting in an envious way, don't see it. Even the poet Sanatan Das, in his Bengali poem, Guru Vandana, he says that Guru Rav Vikriya Jari, Dekaha Kakan. Even if your guru does something bad, don't see it. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I'm not the judge of my guru. If you see that thing, it's going to cause you some doubt. If you do see that thing, you've already seen it, then you're going to have to deal with it. Maybe you have to go to him, Guru Maharaj, I don't understand. Why this thing or that thing? Why are you eating so much prasadam so late at night? or whatever fault that it might have been. Huh? Why you were coming out of a liquor store? Oh, you were distributing books. I didn't know. Huh?
There is also, I read in Srimad Bhagavatam that even when Guru is lying, he is not lying.
Hmm. There's a similar statement in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It said that avidyova savidyova guru eva janardana margosto vyapya margosto guru eva param guti. Whether my Gurudev is avidya, he doesn't know. Doesn't know Shastra, doesn't know Krishna, or he's savidya. He knows Shastra, he knows Krishna. Guru eva janardana. He's Janardana, Krishna, I should respect him. Margosto vyapya margosto, whether he's situated properly on the proper path or not situated properly, Guru Eva Param Gati, I should give all respect to him. I remember telling this verse to one devotee who was a little of the Ridvik persuasion in Vrindavan. He became very disturbed. How can you say that? Oh my God, whether the guru is qualified or not qualified. I said, dire dire, calm down. The verse is not speaking about Guru Lakshana, or the qualifications of a guru. The guru is speaking about Sishya Abhiman, or the attitude of a disciple. It's speaking about someone who's already accepted him as guru. You should examine him before you take initiation. After you take initiation, you should respect him. And then, we know this discussion has gone on for so many years in our society, everybody knows, I hope, that if your guru does some terrible thing, he goes away, some bad thing happens, then Jiva Goswami says we should go to some other sadhu. He doesn't say it's necessary to take mantra again, but we should go to someone we have faith in, because I no longer have faith in that person. But nowhere does he say that you should criticize him. We were saying this the other day, that Mahaprabhu says, amani na manadena, we should respect everyone. That means everyone except my guru. And my guru, I kick him on the face. This is a new age understanding. But what a ghastly understanding. And what a terrible way to destroy our movement. We have to give respect to everyone. Right? That's a real Vaishnav Sangha. Mm-hmm. And we should be very, very careful. We shouldn't criticize anyone. We should be the real knowers of love. Yes?
And is the relationship, even if the guru is exchanging of experiences, because we learn all our lifetime.
Yes. Yes, we have to render some service also for Guru, and we should be there in a very loving, friendly way, and not like a Papa Gunanam, one of the servants of Chitragupta, writing down, Guru Maharaj did this, I don't know, I have this doubt. How will you? You're not, that's not your business. And we'll simply destroy ourselves if we come to that point. One thing I find that is a little sorry about our movement, everybody in the world is interested in love. Mm-hmm. There's a song in America, a famous song, that the boys watch the girls watch the boys as the world goes round. Mm-hmm. And it's all about love. And all the songs are about love, and all the movies are about love, and the books are about love. But the Hare Krishnas are not about love to a lot of people. To a lot of people, the Hare Krishnas are all about rules and regulations, and they're very austere, and they're very sometimes angry and very dry. Well, something's wrong, because the Hare Krishna movement's all about love. People should be coming to us to understand what is love. And our acharyas have described, you have a comment?
Can we criticize someone with love?
Can we criticize someone with love? We can criticize someone, and our motivation for doing so may be in a loving way. Mm-hmm. Like a child, like we mentioned this morning, I love you, but it's not good for you to play with matches next to the gas can. We're going to chastise you.
But
it's very important that our chastisement be with love. And this love is the most powerful thing.
Because she doesn't know, this new person doesn't know that she
may stumble. Yes. I was a bhakti leader for some time in Los Angeles, and we found that there was always this problem when new people come. Everybody in the temple wants to tell them how to behave and what to do. And it's very difficult. It just destroys people. Mm-hmm. They go away. So we just made a rule. No one is allowed to criticize those new people. If you see them doing some bad thing, go tell the bhakti leader and let them deal with it.
But they stay not here. They live outside the village.
Well, we can only act according to our field of influence. If somebody's here with us, we can do like that. And it's nice that the older devotees understand this kind of principle. Maybe there's one person who's a counselor for that person or whatever does that. So there's two types of love our acharyas describe. Hoitiki priti and ahoitiki priti. And this applies to secular love. It applies to devotional love. We should be the connoisseurs, the experts of love. That's what a Gaudiya Vaishnava is. We should know the most about love, and we should have the deepest loving relationships. Hoitiki priti means love with a motivation. Ahoitiki priti means love without a motivation. Love with a motivation is a kind of violence. It's also known as sopadika priti, love with a designation. I love you because you're my daughter. And we were mentioning the other day, I know one man in America, his brother is a chief general in Egypt. And this particular man is a multimillionaire. He has a PhD from Princeton, and I think another from Harvard, two PhDs. And he's a very wealthy, very prestigious person, lives in America. And he wanted to have a son who would be the president of the United States. That was his goal in life. And so he was very disappointed when his first child was a daughter. But then he thought, anyway, my little girl, she's going to become the first lady president in the United States of America. And so he was always cultivating her for that. And he was putting aside money for her education. He wanted her to go to a very prestigious school and this and this. And she started going to school. And one day she came home. She was very happy. He said, Dad, I met these people at school and they gave me this book, this Bhagavad Gita. And you know what? I want to join the Hare Krishnas. And then all of a sudden, his love, I'll put that in quotes, for his daughter, changed. He became furious. Out! Get out of the house! I hate you! I reject you! That's hoitiki priti. That's love with a motivation. And we see that sometimes amongst devotees. When a little child is born, we think, wow, he's a ray of Vishnu. And when he's 4 years old, he's like, wow, he's going to be the next acharya. He's just so effulgent. So comes a Mangal Artik every day. He likes to play the kartals and everything. And then he gets about 14 or 15. And then all of a sudden he wants to grow his hair long. He doesn't want anything to do with the devotees. He starts smoking pot. And he has five girlfriends. And the poor devotee parents are completely crushed. It's a test of our love. If you become angry and you hate them at that point, it's not real love. That's hoitiki priti. That's love with a motivation. I love you because you're my son. And in that hoitiki priti, our acharyas have described this violence implicit in it. I love you because you're my wife. But if you don't act the way I expect, then I'm going to beat you. I'm going to reject you. So there's violence in that hoitiki priti. We want a hoitiki priti. Love without any motivation. This is a love the gopis have for Krishna. This is a love the devotees should have for each other. They should have for our children. I don't agree with you. I also had long hair when I was young, and I did all that smoking stuff and all that thing too. Been there, done it, not interested in it. I'm not happy seeing you do it. But I still love you. And I still want you to know there's a place for you here. Yes?
When I joined, and I just loved it. I felt so taken care of, and I got so much attention because they told me, oh, don't do like that, don't do like that. And if I had come to temple where nobody saw me, then I would feel very alone and actually nobody would care about me. So I felt that they sometimes criticized me, but with care. Don't put your fingers in the mouth and you kind of sewing for the disease because I did, you know.
If you can feel it, it's not for them. Hoitaki pretty means
oh,
it's
yeah,
for me. I'm telling you, hey, don't put your fingers in your mouth because I want to correct you because I'm senior to you.
Yes.
Or something. That's for me. But if we tell somebody with some love and affection, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then people, they can appreciate that. Uh-huh.
Mm.
So Srila Prabhupada, he says that because sometimes devotees, they have some doubt about this point. But Prabhupada says we should also love the devotees. There's a lecture Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles in 1970. He said, in the second platform, meaning Majjhima Adhikari, not only to love God, but we should make friendship with devotees who are loving God. That is society. This is our society. Uh-huh. Our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. We should love them in a deep way. We should have deep relationships. We hanker for relationships, just like you were happy when you came. There was some relationship. And even if you went to the temple, there's nobody there. You don't feel the relationship. Yeah. Yes, because that's envy. And if there's envy there, then we have to neglect it. We should stay away from it. That's why God created wristwatches. Somebody's talking to you and they start criticizing you. Oh, I'm really sorry. It's late. I have to go now. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And you run away. Very good use for wristwatches. Mm-hmm. We should avoid that. And we should have some love for the devotees. This is also described in the Satpata Tantra. Mm-hmm. In the Satpata Tantra is a literature which is often quoted by our acharyas. Jiva Goswami quotes it, Rupa Goswami, Krishnadas Kabir's Goswami, and C.C. It's part of the Tantra Shastra, but it's a Vaishnava Tantra, and it speaks all about pure bhakti. Very nice book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur printed it. It said, Satpati Paramasudha. This is one of the qualities of devotees, is that they're filled with love for other devotees. This is a quality of a devotee. They love other devotees. Mm-hmm. And they'll love devotees deho natta jetta jetta, according to their situation. It's not that a brahmachari should love to talk to girls, obviously, but he can be respectful and loving in her own way. And the brahmachari should have loving dealings with other men. And therefore, a grihastha is someone who deals with a lady, and he's known as an adhikari, because he has a qualification to take care of the lady, because he's someone who is going to care for her, who's going to listen to her, who's going to maintain her and take care of her. So he has a qualification to have exchanges like that with a lady. And sannyasis, I've often heard sannyasis have a very close bond with other sannyasis. It's a very special thing. We need these relationships in our society. But these relationships should be based upon Krishna. The Satpata Tantra again says, Tatapi nirguna cha yecha bhagavata mata teshu prittir mahabhaga duskareti mayochate. Love for devotees is a very great fortune, and it's a very difficult thing to attain. And the Satpata Tantra says, and I'll now describe, what is the nature of love between devotees? Hari lila suto chara parashu satatam dvaya karya pritistava hare yata bhakti nanashyati. We should always love people who are attached to hearing Krishna's pastimes. We should love them. And he says, in that way, karya pritistava hare yata bhakti nanashyati, your bhakti will never perish. If you learn to love devotees in this way, and it doesn't mean that I love my wife. Why? Because she's my wife and she cooks for me and she gives me whatever I want. That's something mundane. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a grihastha, a Vaishnava marriage is not like a vanashram marriage. He says in a Vaishnava marriage, it's not that the wife serves the husband or the husband serves the wife. He says they serve each other for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. And they may take some roles according to their social understanding. That the lady may take some subordinate kind of role externally. But the man shouldn't think like that. He should think, this is a Vaishnavi. She's a devotee. She's not my servant. My God. I want to serve her, and they should serve each other. And similarly in the Brahmacharya ashram, or anywhere, devotees should have love and respect for each other based on Krishna. They should see each other as devotees. Because bhayam dvitiya abhinivesa prashat. If you don't see Krishna everywhere, then fear arises. This means the destruction of relationships. If Krishna is not seen in the relationship, if I don't see him there, then fear comes and the relationship becomes broken. Maya comes in and we start arguing with each other. If I don't see Krishna in every devotee, it's a very, very important thing. We should cultivate relationships with devotees. Parasparana katanam pavanam bhagavadya saha. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam says we should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and hearing Krishna katha, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the basis of our love. Someone may protest, he'll say, but if you become attached to your wife in this way, or your husband in this way, or your children, or even another brahmachari in the ashram, you're going to end up suffering. You're going to end up crying. Right? Because sooner or later that person's going to die, or maybe they're going to change temples or something, and you're going to suffer. Yes. Because in this material world, everybody suffers. But the suffering a devotee has in separation from another devotee, we sing songs about it. Jaya Nilo Prema Dhana, Vaishnava Thakur. It's a different kind of suffering. Ramananda Roy says it's the greatest kind of suffering. There's no greater suffering than separation from a devotee. But there's a purpose in this kind of suffering. If you, in your marriage, if you develop a relationship with your husband and your children based on hearing about Krishna, and you love them based on Krishna, keeping Krishna in the center, if you love them for that, then if something happens and that child, some accident happens and the child dies, your husband passes away, you lose your wife, you'll cry. But that crying will be beneficial for your bhakti, because we'll be crying for Krishna, crying for that lost relationship I had when we were hearing and chanting together. We should have loving relationships. Sometimes in the material world, Prabhupada says that people try to have loving relationships, and then they suffer again and again. So then they decide, no more relationships, and they become like a mayavadi. And sometimes, with all respect to the devotees in our society, we see devotees like that also. They think all relationships are bad. You know, they're maya. I'm not going to be friends with anyone. I'm just going to keep to myself. And that's okay. You'll have some kind of wrestle. You'll have some kind of experience. But it'll be very difficult for you to continue in your spiritual life. And generally we see devotees like that end up leaving because they need some relationship. We should exchange with devotees. Exchanging, this is a very important principle because we see the devotees in connection with Krishna. It's not that we love the devotees first and Krishna second. No, we love Krishna first. But because we love Krishna, Krishna also loves the devotees. Prabhupada said, if you love me, you love my dog. So because I love Krishna, I'm going to love the devotees. And if I see someone who's not behaving very well like a devotee, then I practice upeksha, neglect, because they're being a little envious. And I want to be mahat, at least, and see some good in them and try to encourage that good. I just neglect that bad thing. Don't see it. We're all looking, if we think about it, we're all hankering for relationships. And the relationship that we want to find at least one person in this world who will love me in spite of my faults, who will love me in spite of my mistakes, who's willing to forgive me for that. The devotees in New York, there's one devotee who's walking in the street one day and some street person came up to him. He hadn't bathed in days, like a bum. And that bum, he asked him, he said, hey, do you know Johnny Ananda? And the devotee said, you mean Jayananda? Yes, he's my dear friend. How is he doing? And the devotee said, well, He just passed away last week from cancer. And that person in the street started crying. And he said, you know, he's the only person who ever loved me. He's the only person who didn't see my faults and still loved me. Mm-hmm. That's a Vaishnava. And that's the kind of relationships that we're all hankering for. Huh? So if we give that kind of relationship to others, we may get that kind of relationship back. Talker Bhakti Vinod in Jiva Dharma, he speaks about the Majjhima Adhikari. And he says that a Majjhima Adhikari has four qualities in his dealings with other devotees. Huh? Atma Buddhi. He considers the devotees to be more dear than his own self. This is how we associate with other devotees. We should consider them Atma Buddhi. The devotees are more dear to me than my own self. Atma Buddhi. Mamata Buddhi. We should have intimate affection for the devotees. We should have some mamata, some relationship with the devotees. The third thing he says, Ija Buddhi. He considers the devotees to be worshipable. And the fourth thing, Tirtha Buddhi. He considers the devotees to be places of pilgrimage. Because they're chanting the holy names. They're a moving place of pilgrimage. We should glorify the devotees. It's so very, very important. But we should glorify the devotees because Krishna's in their heart. Krishna says to Durvasa Muni, Sadavo hridayam mayam sadhanam hridayam tvaham. The devotees are in my heart and I'm in the heart of the devotees. This is Vaishnava Sangha. We love the devotees because we love Krishna. And we see Krishna in the devotees, so we love them. And Krishna becomes so very, very happy with this. And he appears by this. Because the devotees are the source of our bhakti. Krishna bhakti janmamura hoya sadhu sangha. If there's a birthplace for bhakti, the birthplace of bhakti, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, is sadhu sangha. So Srila Prabhupada gave us this society of devotees, and we should love each other. We should be the real connoisseurs of love. We should show an example of that. And that love should be there in our grihastha ashram. Why not? We've seen so many people, they get married because someone told them to. And then they just do it as a duty. And they don't really have any affection in their relationship. And they think they're very advanced devotees. And then after a few years, they go away. They can't keep that. There should be love. That's a kind of respect. If you don't love your partner, there should be love amongst the brahmacharis. If a brahmachari doesn't have good friends, deep loving relationships, then he'll want to be with a woman. We should have deep loving relationships with all the devotees. But all those loving relationships should be based on Krishna. Krishna first. And this is the art and heart of Vaishnava Sangha. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol. Any comments or questions? You have something, Krishna Kund? No?
Sometimes we think that we're surrounded, actually, here we are very fortunate to have a community of devotees, and everyone is a very advanced senior. Mostly everyone is like that. But sometimes we think that devotees are unhappy and dissatisfied, and of course, between them and Krishna, is there something one can do?
Well, we have to be very patient with them and very loving and very accepting, because ultimately that's what we're all looking for. When we have a problem, we're really hankering to find someone who will listen to us and really care for us and listen to our problem. We can go to the devotees and tell them the solution to your problem is to hear more about Krishna, and it's true, but it's not just the ladies, but a lot of times men, you also can't do that with them. If you go to them and tell them like that, sometimes they feel hurt and angry. Because all of us sometimes, not just ladies, but men also, we have hurt feelings and we just want to vent. We just want someone to listen to us and someone to love us. That's all. So that's the first thing that we can do. And then once someone, if you do that with someone, then they develop some faith in you. They have some trust in you, then they'll come to you and they'll ask you. Either they'll ask you how to solve their problem, or they'll look to you to see what you're doing. And you can teach them by your example. The best thing that we can do to solve every problem is chanting. This chanting Shiguan, instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, you should be chanting. If we chant with sincerity, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, we give up these three types of inattentiveness. If we spend time with Krishna and we listen to him, then that will reflect in our dealings with devotees also. We'll be peaceful and we'll feel satisfied. The devotees will feel some love from us. They'll feel happy with us. And the non-devotees also. So that chanting really is the solution for all problems. It really is. If we just take it very seriously, then other people will see this is really the solution. And there's other things we can do, there's counseling and there's go swimming together and I don't know, this thing and that. And that's okay. But the main thing is we should spend time with Krishna. And then other people, they'll also appreciate that and see that and be influenced by it. Is that okay? Thank you. Anything else to say? Yeah, I want to thank all of you very much for allowing us to come a little bit maybe into your hearts and your place here. It's not easy when you're traveling someplace and you go and a bunch of people you don't know. You feel really nervous. You know, they're going to like jump on me, every little mistake we make or this or that. And you've all been very, very kind. And you have such a beautiful community here. You have such very loving devotees. I feel very blessed to get your association and see your mood. Thank you. So I remind everybody, if you didn't sign up for Bindu, if you want that, you can get a free email subscription to that too. So we're going to have to go. We have another program in a few hours. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki vanchakopa durubhishcha kripashindu deva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo.